Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, hour number four, Thursday edition. Huge game coming up tonight for the Predators. Puck drop at 7 against Vancouver. Obviously, after losing 7 out of 8, a huge game tonight at the Stone against the Canucks, who beat them 5-3 just a few games ago. But they played well in that game. They played better against Winnipeg, so we'll see what happens coming up tonight. Hal Gill going to join us in about 30 minutes from now. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here at 9 o'clock, normally at 8 o'clock on Thursdays, but we do appreciate you adjusting your schedule for us, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm good. This works out well. The dad taxi duties are all clear, and I got the dog outside, so we're good.
Let me ask you a college basketball question first. I know you love the product and you love the sport, but we've got Penny Hardaway making national news and James Wiseman making national news for a lot of different reasons. We've got Jerry Stackhouse maybe punching down a little bit at Austin Peay, but still drawing attention to his program, which is a good thing. We had Battle of the Boulevards last night. You got Tennessee winning against a pretty decent team in Washington over the weekend. Once again, it feels like a very interesting, for whatever the reasons, an incredibly interesting college basketball season, and we're not even out of November yet.
I mean, I scream it every year, Braden. This is a college basketball state. We all need to embrace it. So, and like you said, I mean, even I wasn't sure about the Vols. I'm still a little leery of their depth and front court, but that was a really good win over a very talented, you know, I think top 25 worthy Washington team on a neutral court. So, you know, I think the Vols and Lady Vols looking up. Like you said, Stackhouse gets a little, you know, get the blood boiling a little bit last night. Of course, I was at the never miss a Battle of the Boulevard. I don't think I've missed it once since I've been here. I never will as long as I can help it. And that was, you know, I mean, Belmont should be in the NCAA tournament. Really good team. But I was really impressed with Lipscomb last night hanging in that game. And it's just, you know, how rivalries are. I mean, even if one team looks a lot better on paper, a rival often finds a way to make it tight, and they did. So there's a lot to like about that sport. People need to embrace college basketball in Tennessee.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I enjoy it. If you just look around the state, whether it's Memphis, Vandy, UT, Belmont, Austin Peay got some players. Lipscomb is always, you know, battling across the board. I think this state has really done a good job at having really good college basketball teams, whether it's men or women. The big news this week, some of the big news, is Vandy and what they chose to commit, at least for next season, to coach Derek Mason. And they have put out this sort of release saying things need to change. We're not going to continue to kick the can down the road. We are going to upgrade. We are going to invest in our football program. And Braden and I talked about it. If you are going to do it, then at least give him an opportunity to be that guy. And I guess the question I want to ask you, Rex, is does the clock start over for Derek? And if it does, how many years?
That's a good question. And I don't know, but I don't look at it that way. You know, to me, it's almost like, I mean, I try to put myself in Malcolm Turner's shoes, and, you know, you mentioned the clock. Like, to me, you know, when you're an AD, of course, and you make a coach hire, that's the clock that starts on you, right? Mm-hmm. To a point. I mean, it has with Jerry Stackhouse. Of course, he made the quick move on Bryce Drew. You know, when he brings in a new, if and when he brings in a new football coach, now that's his guy. Now whatever happens with that coach, you know, that's tied to Malcolm Turner. Derek Mason is not. So I guess I kind of look at it like, you know, I think he is supporting Derek Mason, of course, and I still think, and I've heard you guys talk about this, and I agree. I mean, you know, Derek Mason's still got to respond next year, and he's got to, you know, he's got to improve some things. I mean, obviously, this is a very disappointing season, but I also think, you know, if you're Malcolm Turner, if you were thinking about making a coaching change, you know, what can you offer right now, and you know, what are the chances of that coach having success right now, given the circumstances? I mean, Malcolm Turner, both separate from talking about Derek Mason's job performance, has talked many times about, you know, just the overall lack of support and resources for football relative to the rest of the SEC, I think, relative to Power Five programs. So, you know, to me, it's this is more than anything. This is look, this place. You got to dig deeper, and see what that looks like. I don't know that it means okay. Now Derek Mason's going to get four more years, no matter what. You know, I still think, you know, he's going to be evaluated year to year, and if things don't get better, we could see a change in the not too far off future.
Joe Rexroad joining us here from The Athletic. Tennessee at Missouri. I cannot remember a game that has changed more over the course of a season than Tennessee and Missouri. At the start of the year, we viewed this as a almost automatic loss for Tennessee. Now, I think you can make the case the wrong team is favored, that Tennessee should be favored in this one. I know that Missouri has you know dusted them easily the last 2 years, 50-17, I think, in both of them. But Missouri's struggling right now. I think this game's almost bigger for Barry Odom now at this point. I just can't remember a game changing over the course of a year more than this one. What do you make of Tennessee at Missouri and what the outcome could deliver for either of the coaches?
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, I was thinking about it in terms of Tennessee, and it's just incredible to think of end of September versus now, how that team looks, what we think about that team, what that team's chances are. But you're right. I mean, Missouri, I mean, look, I watched Missouri lose to Vanderbilt, so, and, you know, I thought, gosh, maybe that's just a really weird aberration, but, you know, that offense is just dreadful right now. And you're right, this is a huge game for Barry Odom. Both teams 5-5. It has been, it goes back to show again, you know, college football teams can change so much within one season in both ways. And I agree. I was surprised at the line on this one, Braden, and I know it's moved some, but I thought it'd be more like maybe – you know, 1 or 2 point line, you know, favored Missouri being favored. But I don't know. I expect Tennessee to go win this game. I think it'll be another grinder like the Kentucky game was. But I really like how that Tennessee defense is playing. And I think Jared Garantano has turned a corner here.
I agree. Look, quickly on the Titans, Joe, the news from Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, that Philip Rivers would love, quote unquote, love to be in Nashville if that's an opportunity. What I've learned is he is his first choice is the Chargers and his second choice is the Titans, and that's basically it for him. What do you make of John Robinson's process in the offseason if Philip Rivers is now an option?
Ah, man, just watching him throw the ball the other day. I mean, it really is Uncle Rico levels at times right now, you know, with Phil. And I mean, you know, all due respect to his career, it's fantastic, but I don't know. I don't know that I'd be that interested in that. Am I wrong? Am I missing up there? I know he's had a terrific career. He also, like, man, it's just another one of those.
Is he better than Ryan Tannehill next year? Yes. The answer is yes, Joe.
For sure.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I know he's a Hall of Famer, but like George Blanda was too at one point. You know, I mean, people, you know, lose their skills. Tom Brady at some point is not going to be good as a quarterback when he's like 53, maybe, right? Like, I feel like he's really regressed. I think he's really losing the zip on his fastball, figuratively and literally. And I think I might go with Tannehill. I hate to sound like Stillman right now, but I might go with Tannehill.
Did it look like he regressed in Nissan Stadium when he was making a comeback against Titans secondary?
No, but even that was
okay.
Man, he was throwing some lollipops up there. But yeah, you know, he hit a couple.
I'm with you, Joe. The arm has regressed, a la Drew Brees. The arm has regressed as well. I still think
right.
If you're going to draft a rookie or not have, I don't think you're going to get Burrow or Tua. So I don't think you should draft any of the other guys. I mean, if Andy Dalton is what we're talking about here as another option, I'm sorry, I'm taking Rivers over all these other options.
Okay, I will take Rivers over Dalton. I'll give you that one. I'm probably too, you know, like, well, I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall on Tannehill here. And, I probably will at some point. But I will say that the way he's playing right now in this little sample size is pretty promising.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, obviously, whoever the Tennessee Titans choose to make their quarterback next year, if it's not a rookie, it's only going to be short term. So whether it's
right,
whether it's Rivers, whether it's Tannehill, whether it's Dalton, it's short term. So if that is indeed the case, which I don't think would ever happen, not only do you have Rivers, you have Brady, You have Breeze. You have some of these other guys that are basically going to be free agents. So if that is indeed the case, then if you know this is only going to be a two-year deal, which guy would you, if they all were out there, which guy are you taking?
Okay, well, then Brady. I mean, if
mm-hmm. I agree with
let's
that.
Go
yeah.
with Brady. You know, I mean, I agree. It's short term. And if you can get someone like that, I mean, that's terrific. But, like, I think there's still a huge difference, you know, between Brady and what I'm seeing from Rivers right now. But,
okay.
To me, it's like you got to have your mind completely open at this point anyway, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. What do the Preds need to do differently to not be bad at hockey?
Well, I did think the last game was better. Obviously, I mean, there's been so much focus on you know, mistakes and defensive problems, and even, you know, the goaltending hasn't been as good lately. It was better, but, man, you just got to win a game. You know, you get into one of those ruts, and you just feel like something's going to go wrong. They need to get a win tonight and, you know, get things going. And then I still don't totally understand the Calturas healthy scratch, and I hope there's some clarity on that. And to me, I know he hasn't been producing lately, but I'd be playing that guy. So there's some interesting stuff going on in Peter Laviolette's head right now, and it's going to be interesting to see if things kind of go back to normal. But all of them, they need a win.
2 points tonight for sure. Joe Rexford from The Athletic, we appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thank you. See ya.
Love talking to Rexy there. Yeah, Preds back on the ice tonight. We'll talk with Hal Gill. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. We'll talk with Hal Gill coming up in about 15 minutes. But the reason we got into the Rivers discussion there is that is probably one of the bigger pieces of news this week is, according to Bleacher Report's Matt Miller, yesterday, Philip Rivers would, quote, love to play for the Tennessee Titans. These rumors are not going away.
No.
So I want to get into another discussion a little bit further there than we had with Joe Rexford when we come back, because if Brady's available, again, I don't think that's realistic. I'm not sure how realistic Philip Rivers is. What are the realistic possibilities, and what should be John Robinson's plan moving forward? We'll do that on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.